me to John chapter 5. We're continuing our series called Life in Christ. Say that with me. Life in Christ. We've been studying the Gospel of John, and we've been going chapter by chapter, and we've been looking at what it really means to have life in Christ and how we can experience the fullness of life in Christ. We told you that the theme of the Gospel of John is the word life, which is the Greek word zoe, which means the God kind of life. And it talks about 32 times in the Gospel of John the word life is mentioned. Matter of fact, in chapter 1, it says, in him, in Christ, is life, and that life is the light of men. And then in the last chapter of the book, it says, and these things were all written that we might know that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, we might have life in his name. We looked at chapter 1. We talked about the real life, R-E-A-L, radiant, eternal, abundant living. We looked at chapter 2. We talked about the better life when Jesus turned the water into wine. We looked at chapter 3. We looked at the spirit life, where Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Last week, we looked at the satisfied life as Jesus encountered the woman at the well and gave her drink that would cause her to never thirst again. If you missed any of these messages, the CDs are available here at the church. You can go to the website. You can download and listen to the messages at no cost, anytime, anywhere. I want to encourage you, get caught up in this series, especially if you missed last week. I want to encourage you, the satisfied life, a very important message that we shared last week. This morning, I want to move to chapter 5, and this morning, we want to talk about the healthy life. Life in Christ is the healthy life. The healthy life. We're going to look at John chapter 5. I asked you to turn there. Danae read it as we started the service with the Word of God. There was a pool called Bethesda having five porches. There lay a great multitude of diseased people, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel at a certain season would trouble the water, and whoever was the first to step in would be made whole from their disease. A certain man was there with an infirmity for 38 years. Jesus said to him, do you want to be made whole? The man said, sir, I have no one to put me into the pool, and the others step in before me. Jesus said, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole or healthy. But he knew not who healed him. Afterwards, Jesus finds him in the temple and says, behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. Then the man departed, saying, it was Jesus. Come on, say Jesus. Jesus who made me whole. Say whole. That word whole means more than just well physically. It means to be healthy in body, mind, soul, and spirit. How many can see Jesus did more for this man than just make him physically well? He made him whole, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Here's today's big idea. This is what I want you to zero in on this thought today. There is more to being healthy than not being sick. There is more to being healthy than not being sick. Life in Christ is the healthy life. Jesus wants to make us whole. He wants us to be healthy. He doesn't want us just to be not sick. He wants us to be made whole. This man at the pool of Bethesda was there for 38 years. He was sick. He was physically not well. And notice that Jesus did not ask him, do you want to walk? What did he ask him? Do you want to be whole? There's a difference. He asked the man, do you want to be whole? Do you want to be more healthy than just not being sick? Today, there may be some of us this morning who there is nothing wrong with us physically. and yet still may not be healthy. It's possible today that we may be sick physically or have something wrong with us physically and think, all I need is to be cured. All I need is to be better physically. And if I'm better physically, I'll be okay. I'll be happy. Listen, Jesus wants to make us whole. Not just make us well, but make us whole. Listen, all of us this morning, regardless of our physical condition or physical health, if we're really honest this morning, every one of us has an area of our life that's not healthy. Everyone of us has certain deeper hurts or pains. They're not physical. They may be mental, emotional. They may be relational. They may be hurts in different areas of our life. Every one of us has areas of our life that has nothing to do with our physical well-being that is keeping us from being whole or healthy. There are unhealthy habits. There are unhealthy thinking. There's unhealthy emotions. There are unhealthy actions and behaviors. There are unhealthy choices that we make. We may be physically well, but we are overwhelmed with discouragement or stress or fear. Perhaps bitterness or anger has taken over our life. Perhaps there's relationship issues that have caused us to be broken and hurt. Listen, there are all kinds of things that keep us from being healthy beyond not being sick. And listen, Jesus came to make this man more than well physically. He came to make him whole. And I'm here today to tell you that the same Jesus is here to make us whole. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to live a healthy life. Doesn't mean it's perfect. Doesn't mean we don't have normal aches and pains. Doesn't mean we don't have normal pressures and stress. Doesn't mean we don't have normal problems. But he wants us to be able to be whole, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Isn't it interesting that when we're physically sick, we're open about it? We're honest. We're not afraid to tell people. Please pray for my leg. I got a bad leg. Or pray for me. I have to have surgery on this. Or pray for me. And we seek help. But when we're not healthy mentally, emotionally, spiritually, relationally, we don't want to tell anybody. We shut down. We close off. We hide and we protect it. We keep it. We bury it inside because we don't want anybody to know that we're maybe a little unstable. We don't want anyone to know that maybe we're depressed. We don't want anyone to know that we're living in constant fear or anger. We don't want anyone to know that things, because it's not physical. Listen to me. Jesus wants us to be healthy. And he wants to touch our mind. He wants to touch our emotions. He wants to touch the areas of our life that cause us to not enjoy what he intended us to enjoy. He wants to make us, come on, say it, whole. Now, let me show you some scriptures. We know the story. I'm not going to read all the verses, but you know the story in Mark 2. There was a man who was lame. Remember, he had four friends, carried him up on the roof, uncovered the roof, lowered him to Jesus. The first thing Jesus said to him was what? Thy sins be forgiven you. Now, the man came because he was physically not well. He couldn't walk. But Jesus goes deeper and wanted more for this man than just to make him physically well. He wanted him to be spiritually well. So he says, your sins be forgiven, because more, Jesus was basically saying to the man, if I heal you physically and you walk away and you don't have your sins forgiven and you don't know me, you may be healthy physically, but you're not healthy. Thy sins be forgiven. Then he said, because they questioned all that, and Jesus said, just to show you that I have the power on earth to forgive sins, rise, take up your bed, and walk. He wanted to make the man healthy physically, but he wanted more for the man. He wanted him to be whole. We know there's another story in Mark 5. Again, I'm not going to read all the verses, but you know the story. There was a woman with an issue of blood. She had it for 12 years. She tried doctors. She tried everything. She got worse. She came to Jesus. She crawled. Remember, she crawled on her knees in the crowd and reached up and touched the hem of his garment. And this is what the Bible says. The moment she touched the hem of his garment, virtue came out of his body, and it says she was healed. But the story doesn't stop there. Physically, she was healed. Jesus turns around and said, "Who touched me?" Why would Jesus care? Why would it matter? The woman got what she wanted. How many know Jesus wanted to do more for her? He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said, "Lord, there's a multitude. Everybody's pressing in. Everybody's touching you." You mean, who touched you? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean? He said, "No, someone touched me." And he turned and he saw the woman. And the Bible says that when he looked at the woman, he said to her, "But the woman was afraid, and she said, told him the truth." She said, "Yeah, it was me. Yeah, it was me." And Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. Don't worry. I'm not here to hurt you. I want to help you." And he says, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be whole." Now, she was already healed. But Jesus said, "I want to do more. I want to make you whole. Go in peace." How many know that woman needed emotional healing? She needed peace and serenity in her emotions and in her life. Jesus wanted to make her whole. There's a story in Luke 17. There were lepers, 10 of them, who came to Jesus. Remember? They come and they said, "Have mercy on us." And Jesus, having mercy on them, said, "Go show yourself to the priest." And the Bible says this: as they went, they were healed. One of them comes back and came to praise God and to thank him for healing them. And Jesus said, "Weren't there 10? Where are the 9? And he turns to the man. I love this. He turns to the man who came back and he says, "Where are the 9? They have not returned to glorify." He said to the one, "Arise, go your way. Thy faith has made you whole." All 9 of them were healed. One of them was made whole. There's a difference. There's more to being healthy than not being sick. Jesus doesn't just want us to be well. And how many know some people just want Jesus to help them with their wellness as far as physically, and every time they have a problem, they want him to fix the problem. But Jesus wants to do more than make us well and make us healthy physically. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be healthy in body, mind, soul, and most importantly, spirit and spiritual health. This is what the Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians chapter 5, verse, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body, all of you, be preserved until the coming of Jesus Christ." And then John said in 3 John 1, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I greatly rejoice that when the brethren come and testify to the truth, that even that you walk in the truth." How many know it's the truth that makes us healthy? It's the truth that makes us whole and sets us free. There's more to being healthy than not being sick, and Jesus wants to make us, come on, say it, whole. Whole. Now, there are 3 principles this morning I want to show with you from this passage in John 5 on how we can be made whole today. Because perhaps we have something wrong physically. Jesus wants to touch our bodies. But even beyond that, if nothing's wrong with us physically, how many know he wants to touch some of our minds today and bring calm from fears and torment? Jesus wants to touch our emotions and break cycles of depression and discouragement and anger and bitterness off of our life. Jesus wants to touch us in our relationships and in every area of our life. Here's the first principle on how to be whole. First, we have to really want to be made whole. How many know with anything in life, if we really want it bad enough, we'll figure out a way? Come on. Come on, think about it. We'll go to great lengths. And I think it's very important that we understand that if we really want to be whole, we have to really want to. Now you say, isn't that crazy? No, it's not. Let me show you. Jesus said to the man who was infirm for 38 years, he asked him, Do you want? Not, can I do it? He didn't ask, do you believe I can? Do you want? Do you really want to be whole? Now, on the surface, we'd look at that question and say, that's ridiculous. That's strange. Why, of course, a man who's been sick for 38 years, of course he wants to be whole. Of course he wants to be healthy. How many know sometimes we enjoy our infirmity? It's my mat, bless God. It's not a great mat. It's not the most comfortable mat. I've been on this mat for 38 years. I'm sitting around a lot of other people who are just as bad off as I am. It ain't the worst thing. And we get comfortable in our pain. We get comfortable in our habits. We get comfortable and think, well, everybody else around me is as bad off as I am. I'm no different than anyone else. And Jesus gets right to the heart. Do you want? Do you want to be whole? You say, that's crazy. Of course he does. No, not everybody wants, really, to be whole. You see, what Jesus was saying to him is, do you want just a quick fix? And do you just want me to make you better physically? Or do you want me to make you whole or totally change your life? How many know some people want a quick fix from God, but they don't want to change their life? Oh, come on. I met a man in a hospital. I was in the room visiting one of the folks from church, and we were reading the scripture. We were talking about Jesus. We were praying together. As I was walking out, the man said to me, sir, could I talk to you a moment? I said, sure. He said, I heard you praying over there, and I heard you talking over there. And this is what he said to me. He said, I want you to pray for me that I get better, but don't give me any of that Jesus stuff. That was his exact words. You know what he was saying to me? If you got a quick fix, if you got some special power, or you got some genie to rub, or you got some one-time thing that'll make me better, I'm in, but I don't want any of that Jesus stuff. You know what? That's telling. Because there are people who want to be better, but they don't really want to because they're not willing to do what Jesus said or wants. Listen, to really want to be whole means we really want Jesus to make us whole. What did the man say to the people in the temple after he found out what happened? And they kept saying, what happened to you? He said, it was Jesus who made me whole. It wasn't the troubled water. It wasn't the angel who came down. It wasn't that somebody pushed me in. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. It was Jesus who made me whole. Oh, pray I get better. I just don't give me any of that change my life stuff. Don't give me any of that Jesus stuff. Don't mean I got to stop doing something. Number two, not only do we have to really want to be whole and want Jesus, we have to stop making excuses as to why we're not whole. We have to stop making excuses for why we are not whole. Notice the first thing the man said to Jesus after he asked him, do you want to be whole? The man said, I have no one to put me in the pool, and all the others step in before me. How many know this sounds a little familiar? I got no one to help me. Woe is me. I'd be better if someone would just help me. I'd be happy if they would just... I mean, no, Jesus didn't want any excuses. He just wanted to know, do you really want this? I got no one. Nobody cares. And even if somebody cares, it wasn't enough. It's other people beat me. Oh, come on. other people. See, it's my parents' fault I'm not whole. They really messed me up. They jacked us kids up. It's my parents' fault. It's my spouse's fault. Oh, come on. He's just, and she's just, it's my children. It's the kids. You know, if those kids would just, it's the school's fault. It's the government's fault. Oh, it's the church's fault. You know, if that church would just, how many know it's even God's fault? God, if you really loved me, if you really cared, I'd be better. I'd be whole. Listen, this morning, if we want to be whole, we have to first really want it. And then we got to stop making excuses for everybody else and everything else and allow Jesus to make us whole. There was one Sunday morning, an officer saw in a small town, saw a car swerving all over the road. Pulled the car over, and he noticed that it was the town alcoholic, Frank. The officer said, "Frank, you're drunk and you're driving again." Frank said, "I'm just on my way to church." Noticing a bottle next to him in the seat, he said, "Frank, if you're on your way to church, what's that bottle sitting there next to you?" He said, "Oh, it's just water." The officer takes the bottle and he smells it and takes a whiff and he says, "Frank, that's not just water, that's wine." Frank got out of the car, he looked up to heaven and he said, "Oh my God, he did it again." Listen, we can make all the excuses. We could even blame God. Come on now. Stop making excuses. It's them, it's that, it's this, if only, if. I'm not suggesting there aren't reasons, legitimate things that have impacted our life that are important and serious. And sure, other people could have been better and other things can be better. But listen. Jesus didn't say, "What about the others?" And what about the, he said, "Do you want to be made whole?" Let me show you three things that we need to stop. We need to stop thinking like a victim and start thinking like a victor. See, what the man was saying is, nothing's going to change. I've been here for 38 years, and all I do is hang around people who are sick. There's no way I'm getting better. I'm a victim here. I'm a victim here. I got stuck in this spot. I'm the one who's been affected by this for 30. I got people all around me that are like this. Listen, stop thinking like a victim and start thinking like a victor. Instead of stop thinking what we can't do and what won't change, let's start thinking about I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And stop talking about what we can't do and start talking and thinking about what God can do. Number two, stop focusing only on the problem and start focusing on the solution. You know, the moment we get a diagnosis or the moment we hear something or the moment we have a problem, what do? We research it, man. Oh, come on. We Google that faster than we can. You know what? And we find out everything. We read every symptom, every result. We know everything about that problem. My goodness, we could almost went to medical school. We've covered it so much. We know everything about the problem. We know about everybody else who has the same problem. We've heard all of the stories about everybody else's problem that's the same. We know everything about the problem. How much do we know about the solution? Instead of, listen, know what you need to know. Know, get the information. Have good doctors. Get good diagnosis. Get good information. But listen, let's spend as much time and as much energy focusing on the problem solver. Let's get to know Jesus just as good as we know our problem. I get the problem, but stop talking about it. After you've told 42,000 people, and you posted it, and you posted it, and you posted it, and you tweeted it, and you texted it, and you emailed it, after you've talked, if you keep talking about it, and dwelling on it, you're just going to get so overwhelmed with, stop thinking about it, stop talking about it, and start worshiping, and start looking to Jesus. I'll bet there's some people in your life that just want to say, will you stop telling me about the problem? They're just too nice to tell you, so I'm going to be the bad guy this morning. Stop telling them about the problem. How about we talk about the solution? How about we get to know the solution? Number three, stop chasing a method and start chasing the master. Well, I heard about so-and-so got healed that way. I read this book about, I think I'll copy that. You know what? I heard there's a guy in California, and there's another one over in, all the way over in Australia. If I get over there, if I could get in that service, and listen, God uses people, God uses medical, God uses testimonies, God uses all those things. Please, I'm not being critical, but people chase methods. I got to go see this faith healer. I got to read this book. I got to get this thing. You know what? You got to get Jesus. The man said, it's Jesus that made me whole. It wasn't the method. It wasn't the water. It wasn't the angel. It wasn't all the other stuff. It was Jesus. Jesus. That made him whole. You realize Jesus healed blind men on 3 different occasions and used 3 different methods? One time he just spoke to them. Another time he touched him. Another time he took saliva and mud. Now, I was thinking about that. It's hard for us to imagine Jesus going and spitting in the ground and then picking it up and putting it on the guy's eyes and then wiping it away. Thinking to myself, why? Because it's not the method. It's not the method. It's Jesus that made me whole. Stop making excuses. Stop thinking like a victim and start thinking like a victim. Stop focusing on the problem. Start focusing on the... Stop chasing the method and start chasing the master. Number 3, we have to really want to be whole. We have to stop making excuses as to why we're not whole, and then we have to take steps of faith to become whole. How many know without faith we don't please God, and faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We have to take steps of faith. Once we decide we really want it and we're willing to have Jesus in our life, and then we stop making excuses and change our thinking, then we have to take steps of faith in order to be whole. What did Jesus say? He gave him 3 steps. Rise, take up your bed, and walk. I'm not going to pick you up. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to lead you around. Matter of fact, Jesus slipped into the crowd and disappeared after. He said, it's up to you to rise. It's up to you to take up your bed. It's up to you to walk. Now, let me tell you what those 3 things mean, I believe, in today's, and steps that we have to have. First thing, I believe he was saying, step up, rise. Step up and take responsibility for your own life. Again, it's not the others. It's not all the blaming this and not all the other excuses and all the, take responsibility for your own life and say, it's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's not my spouse, it's not my parents, it's not up to them, it's up to me to get my life together. Step up. Rise. Step up and be a man. Step up and be a, step up and be the person that God wants you to be. Take responsibility. Number two, step away from what's negatively affecting. Take up your bed. In other words, separate yourself from this bed that you've been attached to for 38 years. That mat and that bed is a symbol of all the years of your pain and your suffering, and that you need to step away from. Take that bed and separate yourself from. And I want to say to us today that if we want to be whole, not only do we have to take responsibility, but we have to begin to separate ourselves from the things that made us unholy and unhealthy in the first place. We've got to step away from the people that drag us down. We got to step away from the things that keep negatively affecting us. We got to stop going to the places and doing the things that'll just keep enabling us to fall back into the same patterns and the same things. Listen, we've got to step away from those things. The man had to go from the pool where everybody around him was sick. Where did Jesus find him later? In the temple, where everybody around him was healthy. At least, well, that way. You see, you can hang around the pool with everybody else. You can hang around with all everybody else. Well, they're just as bad as me. I might as well just go. All my friends are going to hell. I might as well go to hell too. I had someone tell me that. All my friends are going to go there anyways. Why should I change my life? I might as well join them. We'll have a party in hell. No, there's no parties in hell. I'm just going to hang on to the same friends who keep encouraging me to do the wrong things. I'm going to keep hanging around the places that keep feeding and fueling and enable me to fall into the same patterns. You got to step away from that mat. And then walk. Step forward. Step forward in a new direction. In other words, the Bible calls it repentance. It's not a bad word. It's a beautiful word. What it means is that we're going this way in our life and we're unhealthy. And Jesus comes into our life and says, listen, I want to make you whole. And he comes into our life and we begin. Then what we have to do is we have to stop the direction we're going. We have to completely turn around and go another direction. Go the right direction. Go the direction to God. Start a new spiritual path and a new journey. If we keep going down the same road, guess what? We'll end up at the same place again. We have to make a change. And we've got to go forward into what God has. Did you notice that little statement that Jesus said to the man? Go and sin no more, because if you sin, a worse thing will come upon you. If you keep living the same way you're living, you keep going down that path, worse things are going to happen. It's time to make a change and walk a different direction. And walk a different way. In 2 Kings chapter 7, there were four lepers that were sitting at the gate. And they're sitting there. One man says to the other, he says, you know, why are we going to just sit here until we die? Are we just going to wallow in this and just sit here, wallow in our mat, wallow in our pain, wallow in our problem, and just sit here? Or are we going to do something about it? They said to one another, if we enter the city, there's a famine. We may or may not die, because we may die like everybody else. There's a famine. Then he goes on to say, but if we sit here, we're surely going to die. Now let us go and talk to the hosts of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we'll be alive. If they kill us, they kill us. We're going to die anyways. And they rose up and they went. Now look, here's their choices. Go into the city where there's a famine and starve. Turn ourselves over to the army, and they may kill us because we're strangers, or we might actually get better. But either way, if we just stay here, guess what? You know what? You could just stay where you are. The man was there 38 years. He could have said, you know what? This is just my lot in life. This is just I guess I might as well just accept it. You think after 38 years, he figured out a way to figure it out. He could have just stayed there, but Jesus said, no, get up, step away from your mat, take a step of faith, just like these lepers and go into the city. Take a chance with Jesus today. Listen, if you're going to take a chance, why not take a chance with Jesus? Because it's Jesus that makes us whole. Here's the question. The same question Jesus asked the man. Do you really want to be whole today? Do we have all the excuses? We have all the reasons why? Do we want to be better, but we don't want to have to change this? We don't want to have to do this? We don't want to have to make this adjustment? Do we really want to be whole? I've told this story before, but it's such a good story, and it's so pertinent. I met a woman in a hospital. I know you think I spend a lot of time. I did spend more time in hospitals than I do now. But I spent a lot of time in the hospitals, and I met this woman. Actually, this woman overheard me praying in the room, and she followed me down the hallway. I got on the elevator, and she got on the elevator with me. It was just the two of us, and she came really up close. And I know the elevator's not that big, but I felt like I was in the corner. And she would come right up into my space. And she said, I heard you praying in there. You must be a minister or something. And she said to me over and over, all these problems. She said, I'm just desperate. I'm just desperate. I'm just desperate. I'm just desperate. I got this problem. I got this problem. I got this. I'm desperate. I'm desperate. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. Jesus, open that door immediately. Get me out of here. I wasn't feeling very spiritual. Wasn't feeling like praying much. She kept saying it over, I'm desperate, I'm desperate, I'm desperate. And finally, after telling me all of her problems, she finally took a breath, and I prayed under her. I said, Lord, please help me. What do I say? What do I do? And before I could even think about it, out of my mouth, I said, are you just desperate, or are you desperate enough to do something? I didn't even realize I said it, to be honest with you. It just came out of my spirit. Okay, and she looked at me like, and she freaked, and she ran out of the elevator. I never saw her again. You know what? I believe there's a lot of people like that. They're desperate. They're desperate. They're desperate. I've been doing this all these years. It's the same old song. And they're desperate, but they're so desperate, but they're not doing anything. Not taking responsibility, not stepping away from the things that they're not stepping forward into the good things. They're not doing what Jesus would want them to do. They just want to be desperate. They just want the attention, I think, sometimes, or they just want someone to care or someone to notice them. Or I don't know what it is. I'm not an expert on that, but I know this, that if I'm that desperate, I'd rather try something and do something. Amen. And this morning, I want you to know, don't stay desperate. Be desperate enough to say, you know what? I'm going to go all in with Jesus. And I'm going to let him make me whole and better and healthy in my life. We're going to prepare for the communion and we're going to pray. And today could be your day. Today could be the day that God touches your life. The Bible says, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Say griefs. Say sorrows. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Say transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Say iniquities. The chastisement of our peace. Say peace. Was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Say healed. The word healed is the word rapha, which means whole, healthy in spirit, soul. Did you notice in those verses that Jesus didn't just die for your sins and to take you to heaven? He also died for our griefs. He died for our sorrows. He died for our transgressions. He died for our iniquities, those inward ickies. I know that's not theologically, but that's a great definition. Inward ickies. Everybody has inward ickies that need healing. Our peace. He died for our peace, our emotional well-being. He died for our body, soul, and spirit. Yes, he cares first and foremost about our soul in heaven and eternity, But how many know he wants to make us healthy in every area of our life? And God doesn't want us to continue to stay attached to a mat year after year, day after day. He doesn't want us to continue to wallow in the same habits and problems and unhealthy behaviors and lifestyle. He wants to make us whole. And he died. And this communion table, this communion elements represents the blood of Jesus and the broken body of Jesus to make us whole and to make us healthy. Can I ask you, do you want to be whole today? Do you want Jesus to touch an area of your life today that not only needs to be better, but needs to be healed? I want every head to be bowed. I want every eye to be closed. I want you to prepare your heart this morning for the table of the Lord. If our worship team would position and our staff and board that are here today, if you would get in position as well, reverently and prayerfully, everyone focusing on the Lord. Can I ask you today, is there an area of your life? You know what? Before we do that, first and foremost, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me ask you, are you healthy spiritually? That's first and foremost. Before we ask Jesus to do anything for our family or our body or any area of our life, how many know we have to have a personal relationship with him? We have to be ready spiritually and healthy spiritually. Let me ask you today, can you point to a moment when you opened your heart to Jesus and you began a new spiritual journey and you invited Christ into your life? Maybe it was as a child, maybe it was later on in life, or maybe you've never done that. But today, the Holy Spirit is challenging you that you need something more in your life. And you want Jesus to begin to work, and you're ready for Jesus to begin to make the changes and do the things in your life that will make you healthy. He doesn't come to convict us and to condemn us. He doesn't come to condemn us. He does come to convict us and to challenge us. But he doesn't come to condemn us. He wants us to be better. That's why he challenges us. That's why he challenged this man at the pool to be better and to be healthy and to be whole. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I really can't point to a specific day or time when I invited Jesus in my life. I want to make sure that my sins are forgiven. I want to make sure I go to heaven someday. That's first and foremost. That's the beginning of salvation. That's the new birth. That's the new beginning. But then there's growing up and there's a process of becoming like Christ that God wants to do. But it starts with that first step. Is there anyone here this morning? I never like to let a moment go by or a service go by without inviting people to make a decision for Jesus. With every head bowed, no one looking around. If you're here this morning, I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm just asking you to invite Jesus into your life. I want to pray with you a prayer right where you're at. Is there anyone here this morning to say, Pastor, remember me in that prayer. I want to begin that new spiritual journey. Is there anyone here this morning? I don't ever like to take that. God bless you, dear. You can put your hand down. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Just want to walk you through a simple prayer. Begin a spiritual journey to change your life. Anyone else? I don't want to ever miss a moment, but I don't want to spend too much time with it, but I want to make sure. Anyone else? With all heads bowed and eyes closed, how many believers would say with me, Pastor, there's an area of my life that's just not healthy, whether it's a habit, a health thing, a physical thing, an emotional thing. There's an area of my life that is just getting the best of me, and I need Jesus to touch me in my sorrow, my grief, my pain, my discouragement, my bitterness, my anger, my stress, my relationships. And you want Jesus to touch you. No one looking around. Just lift a hand toward heaven right where you're at. Come on, all over this place. I've got my hand raised this morning. I want Jesus to touch every area of my life today. Just hold it up as an act of worship. Jesus, you see every hand. You see every heart. Touch us, Lord, and make us whole today. Touch us at the point of our need today and challenge us to move forward into what you have for us. I speak peace and blessing, forgiveness, and emotional, mental, and spiritual healing in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.